Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Annie Fry here, your host of this wonderful, fun, exciting podcast about going to Disney World. It is a big task to take on to plan a trip to Disney World, and I just really, really love going. So that's why I'm here. And my co-host, Erica Murphy, is a travel agent, Disney
Earmarked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I should remember that. A Disney earmarked travel agent. I mean, she's working with the people who are affiliated with Disney, but you're not directly with Disney.
Correct. I am trained with it. We have a college of knowledge that we go through. I mean, there's all the things.
They just think of everything.
They really do. It's magical.
So if you are thinking about booking a vacation, or if you just have questions, Erica is the go-to because she loves talking about it, and she also has many of the answers, if not all of the answers, and if she doesn't have the answer, she'll find it for you.
I will.
You've always done that for me.
I do my best.
So Erica@MagicExpeditions.com. That's Erika@MagicExpeditions.com. You get the Facebook page started yet? No, that's a no. Caught her right off guard.
I keep saying this weekend.
You need to get that Facebook page started so that we can direct people to there, and then your people can talk to each other.
I know. And you know what's bad is all my other agents that I work with, they all have their own page.
All right. Well, this is happening this weekend. You've been tasked.
I will.
When we come back next week,
I will.
There will be something for you to go like.
Yeah.
And then you can start asking your questions there easily on Facebook. So this week we are talking a little bit more about dining, but specifically table service dining. If you are just brand new to the concept of going to Disney World, I'd encourage you to check out the other Pixie Dust podcast episodes that we have up. We have done one that's on basic vocabulary, common apprehensions people have to go into Disney World, and many, many other ones that include discussions about being all over Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Dining is one of the really exciting things about Disney World. And I think that there can possibly be a misconception going to Disney World that it's just going to be like all carnival food.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They take it very seriously.
Very seriously. And they have some of the best James Beard Award-winning chefs in Disney World on property from all over the world. So it's not just hamburgers and hot dogs and carny food, although there are
delicious. I was going to say, but you can get some really good hamburgers, hot dogs, and carny food.
Yeah, the churros are, I mean, I...
Churros are my go-to for Phantasmic.
Ah.
I love the churros there.
I mean, and there's funnel cakes, and you just, mm-hmm. all the smells, the Disney food is...
But world-class food from around the world.
Yeah.
And you can experience all of this at Disney World, and I specifically use dining with my family. I have a husband and three kids, 10, 7, and 3 at the time being. And so I have little ones, and I've gone for the last 2 summers. So I'm relatively new to the idea of going to Disney World, but I'm just enamored. I'm covered in pixie dust, and I'm not ashamed of it. It makes me happy, and I'm here for being happy.
Absolutely.
It's like cultivating the things in your life that make you smile and using the time that you have to invest in those memories. Totally worth it for me. But dining for me when I go to Disney World with my family is... Yes, great, delicious food, important. But it's also can be utilized in several ways to kind of give you a plus up, an advantage in your vacation. One of which, being married to a teacher, I go in the summer. I go at the end of July and early August. And I'm from St. Louis, and we're doing this podcast out of St. Louis. And people are like, oh, you're going to Florida. It's going to be so hot. I'm like, honey, St. Louis is probably hotter and more humid right now. I'm getting out of that by going to Florida. But if
my hair gets bigger just thinking about
it. Yeah, your curly hair. So if you have littles, or even if you know, you just want a little bit of a reprieve, if you are using a table service credit, you most of the time will be able to sit down. It's anything from like your standard Applebee's type of setup to something that is fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you the opportunity.
And some buffets in there too.
Yeah.
Family style.
True. So, but it gives you the opportunity to sit down and relax and rest your feet because you're going to be walking a lot. Wear comfortable shoes, folks. Wear comfortable shoes. Write that on the top of whatever list you're making. We did an entire podcast, Things You Must Pack. Go back and listen to that podcast. The only thing Erica wrote down was comfortable shoes.
It's the most important. It's really the only thing you need.
Yeah. So table service is more of a restaurant experience. Quick service is the other kind of restaurant that you'll go to that is more of a walk up, or maybe you'll order and they'll bring you your food out, but it's more of a quick experience.
Mm-hmm.
So for today's purposes, we're talking about table service restaurants, and you can pay cash at all of these restaurants, but also when you get a dining plan, based on the type of dining plan you get, you'll have less to, you could have no access to table service, or you could have all access to table service, and using those credits wisely can really come into play. So why don't you just real quickly, Erica, brief me on the dining plan names and what you get for it, just so people can kind of reference back to that as we go through talking about these different types of opportunities.
Sure. There's the deluxe dining plan, which is the platinum level. So you get 3 dining credits per person per night of your stay. And they're just that, they're credits. So if you and I are going for 5 days, we would each get 10 credits and we could use those however we wanted to. We would get 15. Math is hard.
We're talking about the deluxe here?
Yes.
5. You get 3 credits. Let's start. Take that from the top. The deluxe plan is 3 table service credits per person.
Yeah. Per night. So it's not per day. So if you're staying for 5 nights, then you would get 3 credits per night of your stay.
15.
Thank you. That's where I got the 15.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to use all of the credits day one, you certainly could. Or if you wanted to spread them out, you're going to be full, but you can do it. So they're just that. They're credits. So the deluxe dining plan, you get 3 credits, whether it's table service or quick service, whatever you want to do.
Interchangeable, but they can all be table service usage.
Exactly. Then there's the deluxe dining plan, which is typically what I put people in.
The Disney dining plan?
Mm-hmm.
You said deluxe.
What is wrong with
me
today?
This is our first time. Deluxe is 3.
Please.
You get a new gig. This is her first time visiting back to the studio.
It's all gone.
Since she got a new gig. And all the radios just drift on out of her.
I've already messed with my microphone. Man, this is a struggle.
The deluxe dining plan, 3 table service credits per person per night that you stay.
Yes, and, or quick service. It's interchangeable.
Correct. That's right. And I'll say, too, like when we book our vacations, I tend to get the earliest flight to Disney World and the last flight out, which means you have a whole nother day to accommodate for. You've got to think about that when you're planning out.
But you can use those credits that way.
Yep.
So if you want to use 1 the first day you arrive and 2 the day that you leave, however you want to use them.
So that's the deluxe.
Deluxe. The Disney dining.
We'll talk slower.
Disney dining is 1 table service, 1 quick service, and 2 snacks per night, per person.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you want to use 2 of those credits on a signature dining, you could certainly do that. You could share meals even. There's been times that
Dan and
I have easily shared a meal. There's so much food. So you get those. And then there's the quick service, which you get 2 quick service and 2 snacks per person per night.
So there's 3 plans available at this point in time. This could change at any time.
It could change.
The last podcast we did, we talked about fast pass tiers and we're like, it could change at any time. Like we walked out of the studio and the Mickey's Runaway Railway changed the whole Hollywood Studios fast pass tier. And I was like, glad we disclaimed that.
Yeah.
So 3 dining plans available to you, from smallest to largest, quick service dining, Disney dining, and deluxe dining.
Correct. And all of those, you do get a resort mug. So it's refillable. It's a really cute little mug that you get to take home with you. And all of your beverages while you're at the resort are included. So soda, coffee, tea.
And I just saw that now you can upgrade those plastic mugs to like a metal tumbler.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doing that when I go back.
I know. I can't. Dan gets so mad at me because I can't throw them away.
I know.
I hoard Disney mugs.
Disney ones? I have some at my house you can have too. You can put them in the pile.
Don't. He's going to get so mad.
So for the purpose of talking about table service, these require reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what people get apprehensive about, I've heard this so many times, like, I don't want to plan out every minute of every day. And how am I supposed to know what I want to do, you know, this early? Once you get into it, it's actually pretty fun. And having someone to guide you along the way makes it a lot less stressful because you can ask the questions, you can talk about the wants and needs. Maybe you have food allergies, maybe you have a vegan or a vegetarian or keto. Disney accommodates all these different kinds of people, and working with Erica at Magic Expedition, she can help guide you along this process. The table service credits are going to include character experiences where you can do character dining, which means while you're sitting at your table, you'll get to meet some people, or there'll be some people at that dining event where you get to go up and meet them. Like, I'm thinking of the Evil Queen is at, what's that one called? Artist Point,
yeah.
And we did that one when we were there last time.
That's a newer one.
Yeah, the Evil Queen doesn't come around all the tables. I'm assuming that's because she might terrify some people. It makes it a little more optional.
Yeah.
But it was cool to meet her, and we got to meet a couple of the dwarfs and Snow White. That was cool. But the table service credit to me is very valuable with my young family. To be able to sit people down and kind of take a load off and relax in the air conditioning sometimes is enough to be the Band-Aid between the beginning of the day and the end part of the day. You can take that type of a break. The thing that you need to know is that reservations open for you at a specific time, and that some of these reservations are very competitive to get, and some of them are, you could get them the same day, you could walk up and potentially get a reservation. So when you are talking to people about dining for the first time, specifically with table service dining and reservations, what kind of things do people need to know?
Well, first I like to get kind of what's their dining style. Are they adventurous eaters? I actually have a couple that's on property right now. They brought their daughter, and she only eats chicken strips. Like, that's all that she eats. And
they just pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's in one way or another.
She's like, you know, I don't want to eat just quick service every meal. Like, what can we do? So even some of the more finer restaurants, even if it's not on menu, the chefs there are so accommodating. They're so used to allergies to, you know, when you say gluten-free, it's not just going to an Applebee's and there's cross-contamination. Like, they take it very seriously with all different kinds of allergies. So, you know, I really like to find out kind of what their dining styles are. Are they foodies? Do they like to eat chicken strips with every meal? Like Dan does. So it's nice that we can kind of go back and forth. And then also seeing, you know, what type of vacation do they want to have? Do they want to sit down for an hour, hour and a half to eat? Or are they going to want to go, go, go? So just kind of figuring out how they want to spend their vacation. There's long days in Disney if you go from park open to park closed. So sometimes having those long breaks, like I know you said you do, they're very welcomed.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Just kind of guiding people into What to determine what reservations need to be made.
Yeah, we've had kids fall asleep at the table. And it's like, if that's what they need to do, that's fine. And then you can adjust if that's the rejuvenation that they need, or the water that you can get hydrated again there, especially if you're going in the hot months. You can certainly do that there. If you go there and you were expecting to go back to the park and you're like, we need to shut this down for a while, you can assess that as well. So table service, there's only one non-table service reservation, right? Be our guest.
Yeah.
But the table service restaurants that you're going to want to go to that have those character experiences, or just table services in general, maybe it's a particularly fantastic meal, you get those reservations and you have to book them how far out?
180 days
is when you can.
On property.
If you're on, so if you're staying at one of the Disney resorts, 6 months from the day you check in, you can book the meals for your entire trip.
Correct.
And some of these are much more competitive to get than others.
Yeah. And I think, so I think one of the most talked about restaurants right now is the Space 220 that was supposed to open this winter. It had a little delay. It's in Epcot. I think that one's going to be
a big time.
A big time. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But I mean, even, you know, like Olga's Cantina, you can get reservations for this. So if you hit those dates, and sometimes you can get really lucky, and I've had people that are going the next weekend and just on a whim and got Cinderella's Royal Table. So it's really, some of them are harder to get the lesser time that you go, but everything's on real time. So it opens up as people change their plans.
So I want to talk a little bit about some of the first time suggestions. Like if you're going to Disney for the first time, and maybe This is your Disney trip. You've talked about doing it before. You know that you're likely not going to be back again in the foreseeable future. Like, you want to do it, and you want to do it right, but you want to make sure that you check off the big things.
Yeah.
What are some of those restaurant experiences that people definitely want to have on their first trip?
So I always like Be Our Guest for a quick service lunch or breakfast. At night, I know we've talked about this before, but it is a prefix menu. It's a 2-credit signature dining. You get to meet the Beast, which is really exciting. But if you're a first timer, really the allure of eating at Be Our Guest is eating in the castle.
So Be Our Guest is in Magic Kingdom, and it is the Beast's castle from Beauty and the Beast. And it is really magnificent to see.
Yeah. And they have, I mean, it's Disney, so they really think of everything. So there's one room that it's like storming outside and it's dark, and there's claw marks on the curtains, like as in the movie. And then you see the rose and the characters are there. And there's another room that's the ballroom, and it's all lit up, and it's a beautiful, beautiful. The ambiance there is is worth it. So yeah. I always try and get in. It's a quick service credit. So
breakfast and lunch is a quick service credit. And we're talking mostly about table service here. But I'm glad you brought up Be Our Guest, because you, like you said, it's prefix. If you're paying cash, if you are doing the dining plan, it's two table service credits. So and you get to be the beast and you get to eat a fancy meal. If you're feeding a bunch of kids who are going to eat chicken fingers.
Right. Maybe get the quick service.
Yeah. So, but being a two table service credit meal, there are several of those, and they usually offer something a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It might be the culinary experience, but it might be something else extra special that's added.
Yeah. And I like to kind of go park to park. So if they're spending 5 days on property, which is normally what I say is a good length of stay for your trip, you know, figuring out how many days are you going to be in Magic Kingdom? Do you want to spend 2 days in Magic Kingdom? Do you want to do the hopper to where you can kind of go back and forth? So really having those conversations and seeing what their overall plan is, because there's 100 restaurants on property that are fantastic. I mean, I haven't even eaten at all of them, and I've gone many times. So there's many, many options. So just kind of seeing what they like and how long they're going to be there.
I think that's one of the times where it really is helpful to have, especially as a first timer, to have those conversations with somebody who does have experience that they can lend you, or they can ask you the questions. What do you like to eat? What do you want to experience? I find character meals with my young children to save me time down the road, because then I don't stand in line to meet these characters. Yeah. And that, you know, if it's 20 minutes here for one character, 45 minutes there, time is money. And any line that you have to stand in can get daunting from time to time. So if you're sitting and you're eating a meal and you've got Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore and Piglet and Tigger walking by, check, 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 check.
Yeah.
You're not going to get to see all those characters in the park either,
right,
necessarily. So, and the other thing that is interesting too about the table service credits is that there are opportunities or meals there. You could pay cash for these as well, to pair a reservation at a restaurant with another experience that might exist. And you can really maximize your vacation by doing that.
Absolutely. And, you know, so that's my Hollywood Studios. I always suggest getting a Fantasmic VIP dining, because you're going to be eating there typically anyway. So you may as well get the VIP access. And I think we talked in detail about that last week. But there's some really great restaurants there. There's another character dining at Hollywood Studio, Hollywood and Vine, and you can meet Minnie and Mickey. But there's something else that I think that people don't anticipate is the length of time it takes to get to these places. So there's a lot of really great restaurants that are outside of the park too, that are on different resorts that, you know, I always suggest a Chef Mickey at the Contemporary, because it's a fun character breakfast. But you also have to think about how long it's going to take you to get there from resort to resort. So you have to kind of finagle a little bit. Do I take the monorail to Magic Kingdom, then walk over, or do I just drive over if I'm driving? So, you know, it just, keeping in mind that some of these, it does take a little bit longer. When we go this summer, you know, I'm going to have my mom and my aunt in a stroller and a wheelchair. And I was, when we were planning our trip, and I was like, oh, we got to go to Artist Point. And Dan's like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like,
too much work.
You know, like, I haven't been there yet. It's newer since we've been there. And he's like, we're going to get a wheelchair and a stroller and everybody, all seven of us over there. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like,
and if it was important to everybody, you could do it.
Exactly, but it's important to me.
Yeah,
you know,
it's an accommodation that many people are making and many people are doing. You just have to weigh the time and the investment into it, and that's another opportunity to have the benefit of somebody like Erica in your corner when you're booking these things. So, talk to me about Magic Kingdom must do restaurants, and maybe highlight the ones that are difficult reservations, or maybe like prioritized reservations to secure ASAP.
So Be Our Guest, I think, is number one.
Yeah.
Cinderella's Royal Table, which is a signature dining. So it's going to be two credits, and that's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So
and
it's
that,
always
what's special about Cinderella's Royal Table?
I mean, first of all, you get to eat in the castle. Which
in the castle
is
the capital T, capital C castle.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really praying that somebody listening is going to, A, want to get engaged and or have their wedding at Disney. And I'm happy to help because
it's like a bucket list thing for Erica.
An engagement at Royal Table. Like, they have a glass slipper that they bring out. You could put the ring in the glass slipper on the pillow. Like, guys, let me help you. Like,
make it happen. My husband can, you can, he can propose to me.
Oh my God, you should renew your vows.
I'll say yes. He'd probably take me to like Wilderness Lodge. Let's go ride some horses. Like, but the palace is right there.
Yeah.
So Cinderella's Royal Table
is good
with,
for kids too.
Yes. Yeah. We already got the kids, so been married for over 12 years. You get to meet Cinderella at the very beginning and get a photo, photo pass photo there, and then you get to meet four or something princesses that can change. But I've gone twice. I've met Aurora, Little Mermaid, Ariel, Snow White, Jasmine. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Have I met any of the other ones? I don't know. Belle has not been there. I know she has been before, but that's not my experience. So, but it's in the palace, and that's what really makes it special.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a beautiful mosaic wall that's outside, and it's an experience.
I think somebody in the studio next to us is really bumping some tunes.
Oh, I thought that was outside, and I was like, whoa. I thought it was a car.
If you can hear that, just jam along with them, I suppose. So it's Cinderella's Royal Table. Mm-hmm. That is a difficult one, especially if you – it's a good one to get at 8 a.m. if you're going for breakfast, because you get in an hour early. You're not really using park time, per se, to utilize that. You'll be out and in the park at 9 when the most of the other people are flooding in. So.
But it's also fun. They have, I know we've mentioned the Bippity Boppity Boutique to where you can get all dressed up. And so it's fun to go do that and then maybe do a lunch or a high tea at, make a whole day with your little princess. I think it's a really fun day.
Yeah.
So those two are the most popular and are definitely what I would reserve first. There are a couple other really good ones. Crystal Palace, we mentioned that's a good place to go.
That's
see
the Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. One table service. So the other two are if you're the Be Our Guest for dinner is two table service credits. Crystal Palace is two as well.
Yeah. And then Liberty Tree. I know you guys are a big fan of Liberty
Love
Tree.
It. America.
It is America. They do Thanksgiving. Which is always fun, especially if it's in July you haven't had it in 6 months.
Yes, it's fantastic.
And then we mentioned having kind of this signature, like plussing up a dining reservation, and they do have a Festival of Fantasy VIP lunch, and Festival of Fantasy is the daytime parade, and it is my favorite, close to Fantasmic, because Tony's is Tony's. The restaurant that goes along with it, which is
I love
Lady and the
Tony's.
Tramp.
We went there, and we were kind of thinking like, oh, we'll do this for the parade thing. We did it for the parade thing. We didn't end up staying for the parade actually that day. We handed them the passes to some people on the way out. But we loved the food at Tony's.
Yeah, the food is really good. And I love the parade. Like, I listen to the music like on my way to work. Like, I, Fantasmic. And
if you want to know anything about Disney World, you are talking to the right girl. Erica at magicexpeditions.com. That's Erica with a K. E-R-I-K-A.
I can tell you.
She listens to the Festival of Fantasy Parade soundtrack on her way to work.
I mean, come on. You need a YouTube Spectrum Magic.
You
because
do not have to justify yourself to
no
me.
No parade.
Look at me. I'm sitting here with you. This is my podcast, and this is why you're here.
The music and the lights and it's just, it's really something amazing. So it crowds up very quickly. It's all down Main Street. So if you're going to see the parade, you can also get a VIP viewing to go along with it. And the food's fantastic. So Tony's, you can eat there for dinner. It doesn't have to be the VIP, but this is also a good hack at Magic Kingdom.
For sure. There are several experiences where you can book. You have to book the package.
Yes.
You can't. It's not like go to Tony's at this time and you get the VIP package. You have to book the VIP package experience. But especially if you're using the dining plan, it is a no-brainer because it usually costs you the same table service credit with the VIP package as it does without.
Yeah, I agree.
So where are we going next?
Hollywood Studios.
All righty.
So they have the Fantasmic VIP that we were just talking about. So there are three restaurants there that you can get the VIP seating with. Two of them are one credit. So Mama Melrose, which is Italian. Did you get the Arancini while you were there? Fried rice ball.
I got spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes.
So get off me. My husband got a steak and some mac and cheese. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was looking and I thought, what can I do here? That because we were only eating two meals a day.
Yeah.
And some days we didn't even eat like two whole meals a day because we were in major go mode because it was just my husband and myself. And we were plowing through doing as much stuff as we possibly could. So,
yeah.
And I probably ate. I don't know if I ate half of it. It was so much food.
So much food.
Yeah, totally.
The pizzas
splittable.
Are really good there, too. They have that wood fire pizza.
Yes.
Wood fire, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So that's a really, really, that's one of my favorite ones. And then Hollywood and Vine has characters. So it has it's Minnie's party, and it's a buffet, American food.
For lunch and dinner.
For lunch and dinner,
but yes.
But
for breakfast, Disney Junior.
It is.
Which if you got littles, that is so fun when Vampirina walks up to your table and is like, oh, hey, you know,
yeah.
And you don't get to see those characters.
Is Bingo and Rolly there?
I don't know who they are, but...
Oh, the Puppy Dog Pals?
Oh, I don't know. When I was there last time, let me get this straight. Vampirina, Fancy Nancy,
uh-huh.
and Goofy, who's in Roadster Racers,
uh-huh.
and Doc McStuffins.
Oh, Doc.
Yeah. Which is also awesome.
Yeah. And those are the only, well, other
I can't
than
imagine
them.
How many kids have boo-boos and they're like, oh, look at my knee. Because all my kids did.
Yeah.
Maybe my kids are just clumsy.
Well, I mean.
And she like sees it and she puts her hands over it and like leans down to kiss it. And it's just adorable.
Oh, see, I didn't book it, but now I think I want to. Brayden loves Vampirina.
Mm-hmm. Like, you might want to do it.
I think it's the blue face.
So you can get the Fantasmic.
Yes.
Dining package,
mm-hmm.
with Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose, or Brown Derby.
And Brown Derby is two credits, so it is a signature dining. And again, you can get that for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Brown Derby, have you dined there?
I have. It is...
is it worth the 2 credits for
no.
you?
No.
No?
I mean, it's okay.
I've heard great things about the food there, but if you're going to spend 2 credits, I mean, I'm like, how can I make my credits last as long as... humanly possible.
I mean, I agree with that too. And I am a huge foodie. And I mean, Brown Derby
like
is like
spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm like Arancini. Because
yeah, I don't even know what that means.
It's a fried rice ball. It's so good.
Okay.
With cheese.
I believe you.
And all things I can't eat. So that's why I was trying to live vicariously
through
you. Sounds
amazing. And spaghetti and meatballs. And a num num cookie.
Oh, man. We need to do one on just the snacks too.
I know.
Because the snacks are. You could have a whole meal with just snacks.
Yeah, you can. You can, yeah. And I mean that's another
like all kidding aside
for dining plan usage or from if you're just like trying to save some money on time, you can pick mm-hmm. up a snack and it'll totally fill you up. So those are some good ones at mm-hmm. Hollywood Studios. Anything else you need to mention?
You do need to get a reservation at Olga's Cantina, and they have, it's not just 21 and up. A lot of people think that because it's a bar that kids can't go in there, but they do have some mocktails for kids, and they have some appetizers. I know
we went.
You went.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was a standing experience.
Yeah.
They have tables, but they have a lot more standing area yeah. than sitting, and I was okay with that, but if I would have gone and had my kids, would they have accommodated me to sit down, or would they have, like, with a 3-year-old or and with
yeah.
somebody who was in a, not stroller, what do you call those, motorized vehicles? It's late in the week, I'm running out of
words. We're clearly doing really well with this podcast right now.
Scooter. Scooter!
Well, it's at the wheelchair.
It's a
yeah.
scooter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we stood... But we were 4 people in our 30s, so
yeah.
we're the people who need to be standing
right.
with a limited amount. We had drinks. I had the fuzzy tauntaun, so I did the thing that like makes your mouth go numb and weird. I tasted the top of it, and then we all shared it, which is great to do when coronavirus is spreading all
right.
over the planet. And my husband, I told him, I said, it's supposed to make your mouth numb. I said, but I just want you to just finish this off because I'm done with it. He's like, okay. And he hit it, and he was like, whoa. He's like, I don't know about that. But he like hammered the
Oof.
Foam. And it was, it's a weird feeling. It's fun. Yeah. It's cool. It's like a neat experience to be able to say you did it.
Yeah.
And we all did.
Did you try the milk?
Yeah. You know, that's a funny story. The people who are, we actually shared, it's like a gastropub experience, yeah, which is right up my alley. And the table we were at, they put, we had four people and I think they had four or five people. And we were all standing around this table and they ordered two blue milks and they were like, you guys can have this because I'm not finishing this one. Mm. And so we all tried it and I was glad that I tried it.
Yeah. I don't, it's like sweet milk, isn't it? It's like cereal milk, it's like not, fruity milk.
It's not. No. I don't know enough about the Star Wars reference to even like really value the experience of what I was taking in. So I think I might have been a little bit behind the eight ball to begin with. Yeah. But if it's a like fun picture.
Harry, it's like the Harry Potter butterbeer. Have you tried that?
I've never seen a Harry Potter.
It's like butterscotch. So yeah, it's like I think it's what, like you said, it's the connection to the movie. So people, yeah, like it's not necessarily a,
it's very popular.
Good,
it's
drink.
A very fun experience to like have the photo and yeah, say you did it. And I would recommend that you definitely try it. Plus, you might like it. But it was also, I think we had an 8 a.m. reservation and yeah, I had one alcoholic beverage or something like that.
You're on vacation.
When we tried that and coffee. Yeah. So. And a cinnamon roll. I think we had a cinnamon roll and a charcuterie tray or something like that that they kindly gave us, actually, because we had a really nice waiter. So, but it's a really neat experience. Yes. It's a party atmosphere. And it was the right, like having us four adults in there was the right group. I don't know that I would want to commit the time. It would have to be the right group.
Yeah.
If it sounds like something that excites you, you absolutely need to do it because it's going to scratch the itch really, really well for you. If you don't know anything about Star Wars, but you have people in your party that do, you're still going to enjoy yourself and the food and drinks are still great. If nobody in your group has anything to do with Star Wars and you're like, well, what's this? I guess we could just go there. You might go in and go, this is not what I was.
Right.
Maybe go to like 50s primetime or something.
Yeah. You do have to have a reservation for that, and it's not on the dining plan.
Correct.
That's what I was going to say. With
cash.
That. Cash.
You're paying cash. Yeah. So you're not using credits. Don't get surprised by that because it's not happening.
No.
So let's move on to, what's the next place?
Well, you mentioned 50s Primetime, which mm-hmm. is a good one. And then there's also Sci-Fi Diner.
I adore Sci-Fi.
Amazing. And that's a hard one to get to. So that one fills up really quickly. It has... like the tables are made to look like cars, so you're sitting in like an old drive-in movie theater. They have a giant movie screen that they put old sci-fi movies on.
Weird, so it's just stuff.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fun experience.
Unique.
Yeah,
very unique. Yeah, for sure. And 50s Primetime is kind of like a
diner
family. Yeah. Your cousins or your servers or something like that. And
yeah,
I've never been, so I look forward to going to that again mm-hmm. or going to that sometime soon. But I haven't been to that one yet.
Yeah.
Where Epcot?
Epcot. You know, I love Epcot.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Epcot is really, really amazing for food because of the World Showcase.
Exactly. And that's one that you really can't go wrong. And that's also one where I really need to know what type of eater that you are before booking reservations, because it is everybody from that pavilion that works in the restaurant to the chefs to the busboys, they are from that particular country. So it is authentic cuisine. So when you're eating in China, it's not your Americanized Chinese food. It is authentic Chinese food.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's really important to note. Now, with that being said, again, I have the client there who is they had a dinner reservation at Monsieur Paul that is a French restaurant where they can get their, you know, oysters and mm-hmm. steaks and all of that. And their daughter can also enjoy the chicken strips. So it doesn't have to be as adventurous at each one of these places. But there's plenty for the foodie to eat there.
Yeah. If you're somebody who maybe has wanted to branch out a little bit, you like my husband went in Japan and he'd never had sushi before.
Yeah.
Sushi's not up my alley. And I said to him, like, you want to try some sushi? He's like, I don't know, maybe. I'm like, well, if you've ever wanted to try sushi, you need to do it right now. And they have like a snack credit that you can get. And mm-hmm. there's like three different kinds. And he just went up there and he said, I've never had sushi before.
Yeah.
So I'm a beginner. what should I get? And they put something together for him, and he tried it, and it was a great experience for him. I mean, he hasn't wanted to only eat sushi since then, right. But he had it, and he got to eat it in Japan. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and so those pavilions are a lot of fun. I obviously, you know, close to my heart is the Italy Pavilion. There's two really great Italian restaurants that are there.
High on my list of World Showcase places is going into Italy and picking something there.
Yeah, and it's funny. So, you know, my family's from Italy, and when we're going this summer, my aunt already has, like, her list of what she's going to order, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. So we're really excited about that. Outside of the World Showcase, there is the Garden Grill Cafe, which is character dining.
My husband and I went on, did I tell you we went to Garden Grill? So we did the breakfast. Oh my gosh. Probably one of our favorite breakfasts.
Yeah.
Experiences, bar none. The food was amazing. Mm-hmm. The experience and atmosphere was wonderful. I know that the Garden Grill, like, they source the food that they use in that restaurant from inside, living with the land and everything. And there's really cool. But I had some impression ahead of time about Garden Grill. About, I don't know what it was. Something vibe made me feel like, I don't think that's for me. And then I heard several people who I follow on YouTube, like the Disney Food Blog, and some other people talk about how much they loved it. And I'm like, well, I should just do it. Everybody's saying this is good. The breakfast was amazing. Yeah. Must do for me on any vacation. Can't wait to take my kids to it.
Yeah. And it's right there by the land, like you said, which typically doesn't have a huge wait. So they're air conditioned. It's inside. So it's a nice little break in the day, too. And the food is delicious. And then, I'm really excited about the Space 220 restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it's not open yet. I'm really hoping they
get
it together.
We're all just waiting to find out what's going to happen next with that.
But it looks like it's going to be really cool.
So finally, Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom, yeah. So Animal Kingdom is all about animals and conservation. And it's Asia and Africa. And so the cuisine kind of goes along with that. There's a Rainforest Cafe when you first walk in, and it's the chain restaurant. So if you're not looking to be that adventurous, there is a Rainforest Cafe.
Something a little
Cafe.
More predictable.
Exactly, right there. And then they have their River of Light, which is their nighttime show. It's did you see that this
we time? Have not. It is scheduled for our summer trip. It's going to be when we travel there, we're going to do Animal Kingdom in the evening, because we've never seen it at night. And, you know, just the way the place lights up, I've seen videos of it, but we're going to...
The Tree of Life is, once it literally comes alive.
That's
it's
awesome.
Very, very beautiful. But they do have the Rivers of Light dining package, to where you get the VIP seating. It is an amphitheater. It's not as wildly crazy as Fantasmic is. This isn't something that I would say, oh my gosh, you have to do. A lot of times, one of my favorite quick service places, which I know we're not talking about quick service in this, but Flame Free Barbecue is one of my hands down favorite quick service restaurants on property. So I usually tell people, if you want to eat quick service and save that table service credit for maybe the last day that you're there, because you can certainly do that. Or there's some really great restaurants. Tiffin's is a 2-credit outside of breakfast. So breakfast is 1 credit. Lunch and dinner are 2 credits.
I don't think I knew that breakfast was 1 credit.
Yeah. Yes, we just had this whole conversation. You're the reason I found out about it.
Tiffin's?
Yeah.
Tusker House.
What is wrong with me? I even have it written down, Tiffin's, too.
Tusker House is 1 credit.
Yes.
For breakfast.
2 credits for lunch and dinner.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. This is just and they can change it. The reason why it's confusing is because they've changed it.
They've changed it 35 times.
And every single thing that we've already told you, Disney could change when we walk out of the studio and we've presented you with all this information.
Yes.
They do adjust things from time to time. But if you're working with somebody like Erica, then she will give you those updates and adjust accordingly.
Yeah. And then outside of the River of Light package, there's Pizzafari, which at night turns into a family style where you get pizza and salad and pasta, which is just kind of a fun experience. And then Yak and Yeti, which is more Asian.
I've heard
food. People
who like Asian fare who just adore Yak and Yeti.
And it's fun. Everybody's in the character or in the costumes, and it's all very authentic. And then they do have a Lion King the Festival of the Lion King lunch package. It is 2 credits because it's at Tiffin's, and it is you go, you get kind of a, it's like a sparkling cider, and you get VIP seating. So if you have a big Lion King fan, that might be kind of fun. But Lion King is another one you should be able to see, no problem.
And Lion King is amazing. If you want to combine a reservation with a smart fast pass and you're fast passing the Lion King show, go to Tusker House. You can do the character meal there, maybe a character brunch, or if you want to get into the park early, you can, as long as they don't have magic hours or they open at 8, you can get an 8 a.m. reservation at Tusker House, and you'll be right by Kilimanjaro Safaris. Mm-hmm. So you can do that first thing if you get an early one, or if you have a later in the day reservation and you pair that with the Lion King Fast Pass, you're right there next to it. That walking time that you save is key.
Absolutely.
So any other places you wanted to highlight? Do you, like off property?
I mean,
or off park?
Off parks.
On property?
So the first one that I we joked about this last time too, but the new Topolino Terrace at the Riviera, they have breakfast with character dining.
Yes.
And this is where everybody's a poet and or everybody's an artist and sculptor and all that. So that's a lot of fun. Ohana at Polynesian is breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's amazing. At dinner, they have this bread pudding that I can't even, like, I wish that you could smuggle it back for me anytime
that
you go.
Is Ohana 1 or 2 credits?
Ohana's 1 credit.
All the time?
All the time. 1 credit.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's worth, it's amazing. It's so amazing. And it books up very, very quickly because it's one of those, I think, best kept secrets that a lot of insiders know about.
I always kind of just assumed that it was 2 credits, but I like thinking about it actively right now, I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah. Spirit of Aloha dinner show is 2. So that is in the same area. So that's one of those, not just signature events, but it's a entertainment that goes along with it. And then the Hoop-Dee-Doo musical review.
Which I just saw and it was so cool. I loved it so much.
Did you like it more than Aloha?
So it's very weird.
Yeah.
How do you compare the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, which is... Is it the longest running stage show in like the country? In like history?
Is it more than Cats?
Something like that?
Know.
I mean, like it's been running for decades and decades.
Yes.
And it's very funny. It's very family friendly. The food is amazing. They had chicken, fried chicken and ribs. I ate ribs, which I don't normally eat, but I like a big girl ate some ribs. Corn, mashed potatoes, amazing bread, cornbread. What else did they have? Salad, which was really delicious. And then this amazing strawberry shortcake for dessert. The show, like, I thought, okay, the show's going to be cute. It'll be what it'll be. Yeah. I'll enjoy it. It is what it is. It was way better than I was giving it credit for. And I was going into it thinking, it's the Hoop-Dee-Doo review. What else are you going to expect
the
from this?
Bears Gymboree.
Yes.
Like, you're like, eh.
And watching the show and the characters, that it's a live performance. Yeah. There's music. It's so fun.
Interaction.
And there's unlimited alcohol.
Well, I mean, I think that makes it.
Yes. This is all starting to make more sense to me.
Yes.
They had sangria. I was very happy about it.
Yeah.
My husband had beer. I drank sangria and we drank and we're merry. So, how do you compare the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, which is exactly what it sounds like, only better, to the Spirit of Aloha, which is the meal that the last time I went with my family, we got the family together. We got everybody kind of, we all took showers.
Yeah.
We actually dried our hair. We looked nice, put a little makeup on, which I don't do in the parks really. And then you get to watch all this Polynesian dancing or this Islander dancing and fire dancers and everything. It is beautiful, it's romantic, it's sentimental, and you have all of this, you know, Hawaiian food, all you can eat, all you can drink again. If you have to choose between one of those two, you are the only person who can make that choice for you.
Yeah.
They are both absolutely worth it. If you can make them both work for you, do it. If you have to pick one, you are the person who can make that decision best for you. Yeah. Are you a Spirit of Aloha person or a Hoop-Dee-Doo? I personally feel like I am both of them.
Yeah.
So we will not eat on Tuesday. So we can, you know, you figure out how to make it work. Real quick before we head out here, I want to give my top 10.
Yeah.
These are Annie's.
Yeah.
This is my experience. I've been now twice with my family and once with my husband and I. We just went for a long weekend. Here are my top 10. Akershus, I don't think we talked about Akershus. It is a princess dining in Epcot. It's right next to Frozen Ever After. So if you get the Akershus reservation at 8 a.m., you can walk on to Frozen Ever After afterwards. Mm-hmm. You get to see pretty much all the princesses that you would get to see at the palace, and it's one credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that dining in the palace is worth it for one time, but I actually think the Akershus meal is better. I think the experience is better, and I think the proximity to Frozen Ever After as an opportunity to do it in Epcot, I think I would recommend.
I agree.
If you're trying to make your credits last and you want the princess thing and you go to Akershus, you will not be sacrificing anything. So Akershus, Hoop-De-Doo is one of them that I put on there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to take my family to Hoop-De-Doo. They're going to have so much fun. Spirit of Aloha is definitely one of them as well. It is a really nice reprieve in the evening.
Yep.
I will recommend that you get the later show.
Yep.
If it's 5:15 and 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
We did the 5:15 one in July. We were like almost soaking in our sweat because it was just really hot. And it was daytime. And if you're watching people throw fire around, it's cooler. Literally. And it's awesomer if it's at night. So we are going to do Spirit of Aloha when we go back in the summer, and we are going to do it at night. So if you can make it work so that you can see the 8:15 show, do that one. Crystal Palace is a great character dining in Magic Kingdom. You get to see the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity to see other, you know, you're going to see Mickey Mouse a lot.
Right.
Like in different places doing different things.
Winnie the Pooh. Costume.
Yes, exactly. Which matters. It's very important to
some
people. But seeing the Winnie the Pooh characters, it also, you know, when you're inundated with princesses and things, sometimes Disney can take a more girlish slant.
Yeah.
Not that princesses are for girls. My son loved meeting them as well. And my daughters love meeting the Star Wars characters.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie the Pooh to me is an opportunity that is very easy, simple. It's in the middle of Magic Kingdom. Food is good. Sci-fi dine-in at Hollywood Studios is dark and cool, and the food is American, straight up, pleases pretty much everybody.
Hot fudge sundaes.
Yes, and shakes. Everything is amazing there. Garden Grill has made my list. I've only had breakfast there, but there's a cinnamon roll that comes out at the beginning that is so amazing. They have really good different kinds of juices, and the breakfast food is amazing. So, and you get to meet Chip and Dale and Mickey and somebody else. Is that it? Chip and Dale and Mickey. No, Pluto was there. Pluto was there.
Makes sense.
Via Napoli in Italy.
Yeah.
In Epcot's World Showcase, this is pizza and Italian food exactly the way I want to taste it. You are Italian. I'm German and Australian, so I just really like me some Italian food. But Via Napoli, we've done Tutto Italia as well.
Yeah.
If I have to choose between the two, I'm going Via Napoli.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
I go Tutto.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you can't go wrong. They're both amazing.
Yeah.
But Via Napoli, I just really enjoy that in Italy, in Epcot. Chef Mickey's is one of those that if you are doing research, you're going to see people hate on Chef Mickey's.
Yeah.
Because it's too noisy or whatever. The experience is classic. If you are going to Disney World for the first time, you get to meet the five characters in looking exactly the way you expect those characters to look in their costumes that are very traditional.
And he's in a chef coat.
What's that?
Mickey's in a chef coat.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Well, Minnie's in her red and white polka dots.
Yeah.
And I guess they do have, like, they're like the chef version of their traditional characters, but they're not in, like, safari outfits or something, which would be weird. So my recommendation is to go to Chef Mickey's if you are planning a resort day. It is a perfect opportunity to do a very Disney thing on a park day when you're not using a ticket.
I even like doing it on a Magic Kingdom day because then you could just pop right over. You can literally walk over.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. If you're trying to maximize the use of a park day, I think Chef Mickey's is a cool idea because it's very Disney feeling, but it is in walking proximity to Magic Kingdom.
And it's cool to see the monorail literally goes right over your head, which is kind of fun, too.
It is really cool. And a little tip for Chef Mickey's, if you can make it work, I suggest doing the brunch time because they have breakfast out, but they also have lunch out that they're putting out as breakfast is kind of being pulled back a little bit. So if you do brunch, you can, maybe you're hungrier and people just have more opportunity to eat whatever it is that they prefer, breakfast or lunch. I'm a breakfast person. I love breakfast. Last two I have here is the Hollywood and Vine Fantasmic package.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer breakfast just because I like breakfast buffets more than I like lunch buffets. I would do the brunch time, but mm-hmm. I have shifted my family into eating two meals a day, a brunch and a later dinner.
Yeah.
It makes your credits go longer and you can eat a banana and some oatmeal, which is a little healthier
right.
to get you going in the beginning of the day in your hotel room.
And it's a better value because breakfast is the yep. least expensive meal. So yes. if you're going to use a credit, use it on a lunch or
yes. dinner. So if you want to use do it for brunch, I would probably still eat breakfast foods, but my husband would probably go with the lunch foods. And the Hollywood and Vine package in the brunch time will still be the Disney Junior character. So it's an opportunity to meet some unique people. And the last one for me is Liberty Tree Tavern yeah. in Magic Kingdom. When you go for dinner there, they have a family style meal and it is Thanksgiving dinner. And it is so wonderfully amazing.
Yeah.
So
just the only other one that I want to mm-hmm. add that yeah. again, if you want to get engaged, I want to let you know. California Grill, because
haven't gone there, so I can't rule that out.
This is the trip that I did for real, think that we were getting when I was getting engaged and like had my nails done, the whole thing, and it obviously
you had your nails done and he didn't propose to you.
Do you know how many times I had my nails done in the 9 years that we were together that I was waiting for
Dan,
him to
I
propose?
Did my nails again, just so you know. You see my nails,
but it is overlooking the Magic Kingdom. It has a panoramic view, and if you go at night. It is two credits, but you can see the fireworks over Cinderella Castle while you're eating dinner. And it is very romantic. And the couple next to me got engaged. The couple next
did
to me.
Did she have her nails done?
I don't think she did. But maybe that was my... It got to the point in the 9 years where I'm like, we'd go to the grocery store and I'm like, is this it? This is happening?
We're in Dearborn. Yeah. This is my favorite aisle.
The lettuce? I do. if you want to get engaged, I've got plenty of ideas.
Well, and to put a bow on it, I think it's really important to understand that my list of my top 10 is yes. based on my family, yeah. our food tastes. Your top 10 could be... have nothing paired with my top 10 and it's still the right top 10.
Absolutely. You can't go wrong at Disney. They literally have something for everybody. Yeah. And even if it's not on the menu, they'll make sure that they have it for you.
Yep. And that's what makes it magical. Well, if you are interested in asking questions or potentially planning a vacation, it's never too late. It's also never yeah. too early yeah. to start your Disney World vacation planning. And Erica can help you with that. She is with Magic Expeditions. You can find them at magicexpeditions.com and browse the website and find Erica. And you can see her pretty face there. You can also email her directly. It's E-R-I-K-A Erica@magicexpeditions.com and just ask her questions. No obligation whatsoever. You've had many people reach out to you after yeah. they've heard about you, at least on my radio show that mm-hmm. I do on the weekdays and also this podcast. And I have people message me afterwards and they're just so grateful for you helping them navigate this. You. This monstrosity that just turns into like a memory you'll have for your lifetime.
Well, I mean, you have the best listeners. Like everybody that I've talked to has just been so wonderful to work with. And so I know it's hard. They love you, which we all do. It's hard not to. But everybody,
yes,
everybody, I'm so grateful for everybody that's listening right now and that calls in. These trips are creating memories that last a lifetime. If I can help be any part of that, then yep. that's why I do what I do.
And a reminder that when you work with Erica, it costs you nothing. This is mm-hmm. a very I always should lead with this. This is kind of bearing the lead here. But it doesn't cost you anything to work with Erica. If she sees a sale or a promo that is beneficial to you, she will grab it before you even know that it exists. And she'll save you money. She saved me thousands of dollars mm-hmm. over the course of time of working with her. And she will absolutely do the same thing to you. And she is no pressure. She loves doing it. You can ask questions, no obligation whatsoever. Mm. And it is a really, really big thing to plan a trip to Disney World. Mm. And one of the main reasons why we are doing this podcast is because that can get in the way of you ever trying to do it. And that's just such a big mistake.
I agree.
There's so much on the other side of the spreadsheets or whatever it is. I'm a spreadsheet girl. It's very colorful and pretty and well organized.
It is. It absolutely is.
But you don't have to be that kind of a person at all. No. If you use Erica, she can help you and she can guide you.
I keep the spreadsheet for you.
That's exactly right. And she will make it just help you make the memories that are going to be with you for the rest of your life. So Erica@Magic Expeditions, make sure you use E-R-I-K-A. At magicexpeditions.com, and you will not regret it, I promise you. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Pixie Dust Podcast. Until then, see you real soon.